When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Forever. Dog.
This is Nicole's Grey's Anatomy. Watch the show like a lot of times. Who is gonna be chief of surgery? Shonda Rhimes wrote the show and it is really, really good. Meredith Grey.
And welcome to another episode of Nicole's Grey's Anatomy. I'm Nicole, and this is my podcast about Grey's Anatomy. I'm super excited for this episode with Lily Pujol, who is a comedian, does stuff at UCB. We met for the first time doing this podcast, and I really, really enjoy talking to Lily. I think you're going to super enjoy the episode, which is all about like queer representation in Grey's. Yeah, I just, you know, I am a little sick, which you probably can tell by, or can't tell. I actually don't know. I can't hear myself, so I don't know. But excuse the cough, sniffles, and blows of the tissue. It's all part of the color, texture, just general vibe. And frankly, it's on theme because Grey's Anatomy is about people with illnesses, and I have what one could only describe as a cold. So, yeah, the season 16 has started. Some of you guys are tweeting at me at @unsilverberg about the season. I love it. At some point, I'll probably do an episode that's just like talking about 16. So if I'm not talking about it on the podcast, keep talking to me about it. I enjoy it. Thank you for bearing with me for I know that this episode is coming a day late. I gorgeously, gracefully fell down two stairs at work and sprained my ankle and couldn't record in time. And my amazing producer, Megan Pope, edited this so quickly for it to come out on this Tuesday. So yeah, okay, that's the whole spiel. Let's get into the episode. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Nicole's Grey's Anatomy. I am so excited for this episode. I can already tell it's going to be a fan fave because it's an episode you guys have been asking for a long time. We're going to be talking about queer representation, representation in general in Grey's, and our guest is Lily Pujol.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, welcome. So the first question that I always ask every guest is, what is your Grey's journey?
So I started seeing it, when it came out. I wasn't really watching it, but I was like passively watching it as my mom and stepfather watched it.
Uh-huh.
They like had loved all those like medical shows and had watched ER. And then, so I didn't have a TV in my room, never did. So it was only like shared TV space.
Yeah.
So it was mostly just me passively watching my parents watch TV. That's exactly how I felt about the show when I first started.
Yeah.
Just kind of, it was TV and I was sitting there. And let's see, I was about, it was either like at the end of middle school or the beginning of high school. But then I like actually started to watch it.
What was like the, what was there why? Like a plot point that like, that you got invested in, or was it just at a certain point you were like, I know enough about these characters that I might
part
as well.
Of it was that. Like, yeah. I loved Bailey. I loved, like, Sandra O's character.
Yeah.
I And then also, as a young queer going to Catholic school from the age of like 5 to 18, this was like the coolest thing to watch.
Yeah. Did you have other friends at school who watched it, or were you kind of like the only one?
I was. So people who were not my friends watched it, and okay. my friends were like too smart to watch it. And I was yeah. like, yeah, I don't watch that.
Yeah. That show's not intellectual enough or yeah. whatever. Yeah.
Right. And then when I left for college, I still didn't have a TV, and uh-huh. I like, never had a TV. I still don't own one. It's not like
yeah.
I'm so great. It's just like I never went and bought one.
Yeah.
And like kind of fell off and didn't watch it for a while. And then someone told me there was a gay character. And so then I went back and watched it okay. and then have since then watched it religiously.
And they were referring to Callie?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So you went back, did you watch from the beginning or did you kind of start around like the season four-ish time?
I like went back like one episode before she starts to, so I could understand yeah. a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Because I did like anytime I did go down to visit family, I was born and raised in Miami and I was going to school in Tallahassee, Florida. So anytime I could leave, I would,
uh-huh.
and my parents still watched it. So I kind of understood like what had happened. Cause I'd see random episodes here and there. But then I was like, oh wait, no, I'm invested.
Yeah.
I want to see this.
Yeah. Kelly Quinn, has recently reached out to me and said like, okay, I want to watch like everyone talks about Calzona. I want to watch Calzona. Like, when should I start? And I was like, well, I actually think you should start with Callie and Erica Hahn because I think it provides really important context. Mm-hmm. And she was like, okay, that sounds like a massive undertaking. I was like, it's worth it. It's worth it. I promise. But it is kind of a, Callie is like a huge draw.
Yeah.
Like her plots are really interesting. And I don't know. I love Callie.
Yeah. And I liked her before because she's Latina. And yeah. so for me, that was like, oh, I like this character because of this representation. And like for me and my family was very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And like having a doctor, I was like, all my doctors were Latino or Latina. And I was like, this is something I relate to.
Yeah.
But then she was queer as well. And I had finally, I'd left home and like was no longer going to a Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. Yeah. I can be me.
Yeah. Were you, were your parents who were still watching, were they like, did they also like Callie or like, was it something that you guys would talk about the characters or were you just still kind of like in the background watching Grey's separately?
So my mom liked Callie, before she came out.
Okay. Okay.
And then when she came out, she was like, updating me on episodes because that's what she does.
Yeah.
Like even if I don't watch a show, she'll tell me like what her soaps. Like we actually watched soap operas growing up and stuff.
Yeah.
So like it was the same thing of me like kind of knowing these characters, her telling me all about it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I don't know what this is about. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. I think that the way that they did it was designed for like the majority of people who watch like network dramas yeah. to kind of like understand like why, like having a friendship blossom into something more, I feel
right,
like
right.
is like a more, like it's an easier in,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to like someone who just was like, I'm coming to the table queer. Like I've always been queer. I've always known I'm queer. Mm-hmm. And like, which is when what Arizona ends up
right.
being.
Yeah, which I identified more with like Arizona's like, I guess, coming to her queerdom.
Yeah.
I think my mom didn't. Like, mm-hmm. people see what they want to see, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I was on every sports team. I like fit that stereotype. I don't know. I have a twin brother. I was friends with only boys.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. She was like, what? When I did come out, I was like, come on, you knew this.
Right. Yeah, I think that, I mean, Callie, when she's talking with her dad, mm-hmm. like kind of suggests that she has an uncle.
Right.
Who is right. gay that like.
Yeah, I found out afterwards that my mom's sister is bi.
Yeah.
And I was like, how did I not know about this? And now they talk about it like it's, everybody knows this. It's like she has an allergy. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, you know your aunt. I'm like, no, I didn't know this.
Was she not out or it just wasn't something people talked about?
They hadn't talked about it. It was like a huge drama at the time, like when it happened. This is before mm-hmm. any of us like were born.
Yeah.
And it was like, your aunt and her friend.
Yeah.
And her many friends.
Yeah. I have a cousin who is gay and she has kids,
mm-hmm.
but who she had kids with, like whatever man she had kids with, I don't think I ever knew.
Mm-hmm.
And for Thanksgiving every year, it was like her and her, I don't think they ever got married, but like her and her partner. And it wasn't until I was in high school that I actually like understood, because it just was not any, like no one had a problem with it. It just mm-hmm. was like, it didn't even need to be talked about because yeah. everyone knew, except for like the kids who were like, I don't, who is Denise's friend? it's interesting, like seeing how that plays out yeah. in kind of like larger family context. Yeah. But obviously that's like a cousin for me. It wasn't like someone who I saw all the time. Yeah. It was someone who I saw once a year.
She afterwards was married to a man and had kids with him. So like, I just knew that part of her life because yeah. this would have been like when she was my age. And it was like a huge drama. And my grandfather was like, no child of mine or whatever uh-huh. type thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So, okay. So you got invested in Grays because you knew that because someone told you that there was a gay character mm-hmm. and then
specifically a gay woman.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, thank you. I'm here.
And then were you surprised when then it was Callie, because you then had already seen, in my opinion, Callie is very different. Like, I mean, you said that you liked her.
I liked her immediately. Beginning. I thought she was badass. Like, you're supposed to think she's badass.
Totally. Yeah, she's, you know, so a I was bone
like,
surgeon.
Yeah, exactly. They're all cool.
Yeah.
So I was like, yes, my team. What's up?
Yeah. And then she is such a cool journey in that like she has a lot of she has a lot of like major events. Like not yeah. just her coming out, her coming out is like one thing, but there's a lot of like confusion about like she doesn't, there's not a ton of like understanding of being bi
right.
at the beginning. Like there's her fight with, I mean, the last time that we ever see Erica is like, you can't kind of be a lesbian,
right,
which is like such a wild moment to see verbalized. But it's like, you know, she has her struggling with her feelings about Erica, then mm-hmm. she has kind of her relationship with Arizona, her deep desire to be a mother, her relationship with her parents, like her marriage with George. She does have a lot of self-actualizing events,
yeah.
like much more, I would say, than some of the other characters kind of like trundle along.
Yeah. You get to see her like discover and come to her identity.
Yeah. So then this is kind of what we were talking about in this episode today. It seems like the reason why you wanted to talk about it was because it was like what drew you into Grey's Anatomy, but what also like, why were you interested in doing your episode on this?
Because I'm an ally.
Yeah.
No.
Obviously. Yes. This is the main way to be an ally. You come onto a Grey's Anatomy podcast and you just kind of like give a shout out.
Yeah, exactly. So I had never rewatched Grays
mm-hmm.
Until like just before someone contacted me about doing this.
Uh-huh.
I had happened to just started rewatching it and I was like, wow, this show has grown so much.
Yeah.
Because I think like the first episode, the only thing about like gay or queer is like, O'Malley is like, oh no, they think I'm gay. I'm not gay. Da, da, da.
Yeah.
And then like,
yeah, there's the Weber's friend.
And I think that's like the third episode.
Yeah.
And even that is like kind of a stereotype. It's this older man just hitting on this younger man.
Right.
And he's like, I'm not. I'm clearly not. And like that was later we find out that Joe, the bartender, is gay. But
yeah.
It's like kind of problematic in his depiction too, because it's like just a throwaway line and then you never really see it. It's like the sexless.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, like it's played for laughs that when they go camping that Weber doesn't understand that Joe and Walter are like together
right.
and wants to share a tent with them. And it's like played for laughs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it was of that time. That,
yes.
You know, like it was like very liberal
right.
show to begin with.
It's not like a malicious portrayal, but it is
right.
like weird to watch that now of like when you try to articulate what about that is funny, you're like, you start like running into some walls there.
Yeah, exactly. And then, just like as it is now, it's kind of huge in a lot of the depictions and stuff. And they have like an actual trans actor playing a trans character, which is huge. And like how they come out as well is very interesting.
Yeah.
We can talk about that after.
Yeah, definitely.
And they even have a non-binary character, and they talk about that. And that's really big, especially when you consider that like the target audience isn't necessarily me. It's my mom.
Yes.
Right. So, and she's had these people in her life for 16 years. So these, like, this is the representation that she's getting in the, like, so for me, it's important because it's like, this is how my mom understands my life.
Right. Yeah. I think that's so interesting. I mean, I've talked about on the podcast before that, like, in the recent seasons, the show is much more prone to do like a very special episode where there's sort of one case for the entire episode. It's something kind of topical and it's broaching the subject in a way that like people who don't personally know anyone who's out or who is, you know, not white or whatever it may be, like it's a way that, you know, it gives them an in that they can understand. And it seems kind of like a little ham-fisted to us. But then you try and think about like the millions of people who watch it every week. Like it's actually pretty incredible that they're like broaching things like police brutality and consent and all of those sorts of things. And then I've also mentioned that like this past season when they had the episode about the woman who was sexually assaulted, that they had this huge fight with the network over what they could show of a rape kit. Like that ABC was like, you can't show a swab that has like been used.
Right.
And like when you understand the type of fights that they go through, it actually becomes all the more impressive of what they're able to accomplish. Yes, absolutely. So I do think that it's when you see like a trans woman advocating for like a different type of like, you know, gender
reaffirming
surgery.
Surgery,
like it's so much more than just like a story about that. It's actually a way of like introducing an idea, especially when they focus so much on patients' quality of life as opposed to like health concerns or risks.
It's like healing in all sense of the word.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think they've always had queer patients.
Right.
Like that was definitely like the in. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it would be like they would introduce a patient, you would really like them, and then there would almost be kind of a reveal that they're queer so that it's like you're already on their side. Like if you
can't take it back, then you're a homophobe. Back.
Yeah. Exactly. Which we'll look at one of those cases in a little bit with the gay soldiers in season 4. But yeah, they definitely have, I think, challenged themselves as a network show to like expand representation in a more nuanced way than just like simply showing us like
they like, exist and now they go away.
Right. Like Walter, who owns a bar, is gay. Can you believe that? He's a bartender. You're like,
And then he wears like flannel.
Right.
Like we tricked you.
He's not what you would think of when you think of, you know, gay bartender.
Right.
He's a different kind of gay bartender.
A different kind of gay.
Yeah. So what are your feelings about the Callie and Erica relationship? Like, did you, when you started watching, were you,
was like, I for it?
Well, or just were you, was it like, you mean you watched because there was like a gay woman character? Mm-hmm. Were you like, yes, I like this, I'm in? Or were you sort of like, okay, let's see where this goes?
Yeah, I was like kind of on board already because I was like, well, I don't have a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And then also, I never liked her with O'Malley.
Yeah, me either.
I just never really, he like.
It didn't seem like a good fit.
No. And I also didn't really like O'Malley that much. Like, he just reminded me of my brother, when, like my brother's worst years. Like, I love my brother now. We're twins. He's also a homosexual. Like, it runs in the family now.
It has, yeah, that's proof, you know, that it's genetics.
That's proof. It, me and my brother.
Yeah.
You hear that, science world? And then.
It's a sample group of two, and we've got amazing news.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just never liked O'Malley. So automatically I was like, her with anyone else? Yes.
Yeah. I loved her and Han. And I actually really like Han in general for the most part. She's mean, but
yeah,
but I like mean.
Yeah, we like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I like would love for a woman like Erica Han to be mean to me. That would actually be incredible. Like, because
that's
she's...
That's what it says on my Tinder.
Yeah.
It's like, be, no.
Yeah, please be mean to me like Erica Han. Yeah, I mean, I don't, I think that, like, there's something also just, I always am a sucker for, like, relationships where it's, like, this person's mean except for with this other person. Like, Karev right. has that, too, where it's, like, Karev is, like, is damaged and he lashes out at people, but then there's, like, one or two people who, like, know the real Karev, mm-hmm, and I'm like, mm-hmm, ugh, unfortunately that, like, formula really works for me.
No, when the ratio is that, it means like, no, he's actually an asshole.
Yeah, absolutely. In real life, it's a massive red flag and you have to run away, and like, right, honestly, that person is going to right. do something illegal, but but in the context of TV, I'm always like, wow, well, if I could you try be that really one nice hard person. Enough,
yeah,
yeah, you can get this like genuinely bad person to like give you love.
And I feel like that was such a trope in TV and in like real life. People are like, he's terrible, but like I can change him.
Yeah.
And like, that's the truth. And
no,
it's like,
if a real person said that to me, I would be like, you're
therapy that, is important. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like you need a community to help extract you from this relationship.
No, but I liked Han from the beginning. And I also liked that they, it wasn't like somebody discovering themselves and somebody who was like, kind of like later where Arizona's like very much like, I've known this for a long time. I like, you know, it was like, there wasn't this thing of like, almost like gatekeeping of like who's queer and who's queer enough and whatever. It was just like two people who genuinely liked each other, were friends, and then it developed into something else, which felt more real to me, or at least that's what I wanted my college experience to be.
Yeah.
I was very nerdy. Didn't really make friends until like junior year.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, I think that that's like one of the appeals of Grey's in general, is that right. like you can be bold enough to like end a conversation by leaving a room,
right.
that you can like make out with someone in like a temporary enclosed space, like an elevator, and just mm-hmm. like kind of see what happens.
Right. There's no
with
cameras
that.
And elevators
no cameras,
and hospitals.
Nothing. Yeah. Like all of that stuff, like the specific lack of impulse control, mm-hmm. but then like paired with extremely high ambition, like career ambition.
Yeah. And it's amazing
like,
bodies.
Yes. That's like exactly what I wanted adulthood.
Okay.
To
maybe that's
be
what
like.
Pulled me into Grey's first. And I just didn't realize it.
Yeah.
It was just like sheer attractive of the the entire cast.
It's really nice to look at hot people, I guess is what
I'm like, that's
to
definitely
say.
What's kept me, in some of the really bad, not bad, just some of the less, good seasons.
Yeah. So do you still watch?
I do.
Yeah. I figured since you were referencing. Okay. So wait, I have to ask, are you a fan of Schmidt and Nico?
No.
Me either.
I just don't buy it.
It sucks to say, but it's just like, literally, why would someone as hot as Nico, who like is out and like is like this, like, you know, as we've said, being a bone surgeon just speaks volumes to how badass you are.
Right.
He's just like this like quiet, hot bone surgeon.
Right.
Who then is like attracted to a not out guy who's goes by glasses.
Right.
I mean, like, if you know, you can't control who you love, but I don't see it.
Then they just explain it with like a throwaway line. I think when they're like in the elevator and Nico's like, nerdy, this and that, and that's just my type, and he like even speaks that way as like,
yeah,
he's like, and you know, regularly would be my type, and da da da, and goes on, and I was like, that's a throwaway line, and it like it still feels completely unearned. Like, I want to see you all start as friends.
Yes.
And like, if that's, I think if I think that's the problem with some of the seasons is like, they're like, okay, now they like each other.
And yeah, you don't just get to accelerate.
It doesn't feel earned. It doesn't feel real. And it's like, okay, if you have these two people that don't seem like they would be together, like you have to explain to me how, you have to show me how it happens. It can't just be a quick line.
Well, that's the thing with like Callie and Erica. Like they actually don't really have compatible personalities at all. And like one of the things about Erica that's like at the beginning is like, she genuinely detests Mark Sloan. And Mark is one of Callie's best friends. And like you see over the course of a long period of time of like how they connect and they become really close. And I think that the same is true of like, Teddy and Owen at the beginning, like when they just bring Teddy in and like you tell us that they have a history, but then like you see, and I have to say, I like absolutely hate Owen and I don't think that Teddy and Owen should be together.
I've hated him since the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I've been rewatching season six, which I actually haven't been doing a ton of rewatching since I started this podcast because I'm always like watching clips and specific episodes out of order. But this past weekend I was sick and I just was like, you know what I want to watch? I want to watch some good old fashioned season six, which I think is like truly one of my favorite seasons of Grey's. And I started with the like Rashomon episode where they're trying to figure out who killed the patient and it ends up being April Kepner and she gets fired. Just, you know, a little bit of a pick me up for me personally, because I don't really care for April all that much. I'm slightly reformed. I appreciate her, but she's not really a favorite character. And pretty shortly after that, Teddy gets introduced. And I was like, God, even though I don't like Owen and even though I don't like Teddy and Owen together, they like do this really powerful, slow burn of like them being in close proximity and you see them watch each other and you see the triangle between them and Christina. And it's like it's so well done that you end up being like, wait, do I really hate this or am I just like, is it actually undeniable? Yeah. And then you're like, I actually do hate this.
I hate this because I know that if these people were real, this would be a terrible idea.
Yeah. Awful. Absolutely awful.
But I've just watched this happen so slowly. Now I want to see the end, even if the end is a crash.
Right. And so they absolutely could have found a way to make like Glasses and Dr. Kim like work for me. But unfortunately, also just like all the details about Glasses. I'm like, he lives with his mom in a basement. You know, there's just a lot. The actor who plays him seems extremely sweet. Yeah. I do have to say.
I do. I think like I like the character. I do. I don't know why I said that as a question. I like the character. Yeah. Or at least I want to like him. There's also this thing with like all the interns that I'm like, I feel like we've just been given information, but we haven't gotten to know them.
Absolutely. I even think like more than the interns, like even DeLuca, I feel that way.
Well, I don't like him.
Truly hard same. Don't like him. I have been advocating for actually multiple seasons for him to drown. And I think that just would be like a really good plot. And I don't like him and Meredith together.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't like him with anybody. I really just think that that guy's got to get out of here.
Yeah.
When I saw on his Instagram that he turned 30 this year, I almost threw myself off of a building.
I don't follow any of them on Instagram.
He's not worth following that he got married. Actually, I have to say, just kind of a shout out to the Grey's cast. A lot of weddings this summer. Kelly McCreary got married. Oh, yeah. Camilla Luddington got married. Gian Cuomo Giannotti, however you say his name or whatever his name is, guy who plays DeLuca. He got married last year to a woman named Nicole. She spells it with an H. She's a makeup artist. They got married in Italy. Anyway, a lot of love in the air for the Grey's Anatomy actors. Absolutely have to give a shout out, but yeah, I do want DeLuca to drown. And and then when his sister, like the reveal that his sister still worked at the hospital this past week, I was like, wait, what? Like, she's just like sitting in a room being just sitting there for Amelia to go in and ask her for a threesome. And then it's like, I'm sorry, back up. This person still works here. Haven't seen them in months. Anyway,
Well, that's also like anytime there's like I love this. Every time there's like a character that we've never seen before and all of a sudden they have like two lines, I'm like, oh, something's going to happen with this person. We've never seen them. They're played by someone who's actually relatively famous.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen to this janitor or this nurse or this like.
Absolutely.
It's terrible, but I love it. I'm always like, I know something's going to happen.
Yeah, I love it too. I mean, I thought that the season premiere was not great, but I liked the second episode a little bit more.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Because it just was, I mean, gosh, I'm such a broken record, but it's just like, I want more patient cases. I want less doctor drama and more medicine, mm-hmm. which I that must not be the overwhelming opinion nationwide, because they just keep doing doctor plot lines.
Right. But then that's why some of the plot lines feel like I've seen this, because yes. there's only so many like you need to break it up with like these things that can come in and come out and we don't have to necessarily live in them.
Right. Yeah. Not every patient. It's like the only patients we meet can't be patients that are there for like 5 episodes. Mm-hmm. We need some people who like come in, they present with symptoms.
Right. I want a 2-episode arc. That's what I want, you know?
Give me a good 2-parter. Ugh, I love a 2-parter. I love a Grace 2-parter. Right. They're classic.
I get just invested enough.
Yeah.
And then they can leave.
Yeah. It's been a while since I cried at a Grace episode. And I'm like, destroy me. Like, mm-hmm. break me down.
Yeah.
I won't cry if DeLuca drowns, but I'll try.
Like, tears of joy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's actually true. I probably would. Yeah. Or Owen.
Like a single tear. Like, you're just proud of the situation. Like, finally.
Yeah. In this most recent episode, I think I was supposed to feel good that Owen finally decided to help his baby. Like, I think I was supposed to be like, wow, what a good guy. And I just really was like,
I feel like that's his whole thing. Everyone's supposed to feel like, wow, what a good guy. But like, if you actually look at what he does, he's not a good guy.
No, he never has been.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
He did go to therapy for 2 episodes last season, though. That's really incredible.
I mean, that's accurate as to how therapy works.
Yeah. Yeah, you just go once to kind of meet the therapist, mm-hmm. and then the second time you get fixed.
Yeah, they just scan you.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, it's your mom. That's the source of everything.
Yep.
I mean, it's accurate for me, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think across the board, usually if you're going to just go with like one... one blanket takeaway from therapy, it's your mom, is like a pretty good bet. But yeah.
She's going to listen to this and love it.
Yeah.
And be like, because she likes when things are about her.
Incredible.
She named me after her. I just have to say that.
Is her name also Lily?
Yeah, she's Liliana Pujol.
Okay.
And she named me her nickname, so I don't know what that means.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's some Gilmore Girl shit.
I never watched that.
Well, it's really the only thing you need to know is that they're both named Lorelai.
Mm. And I think, honestly, I think like part of why I loved Grey's too is like this like not necessarily clear family relationships.
Yeah.
Like there's good and there's bad. And also like I'm a product of a second and a third marriage.
Uh-huh.
So like my mom's second marriage, my dad's third, like not their last marriages either. So I have like a lot of half siblings that don't make sense. So I know people hate on like all these like sibling things and stuff.
I have been known to say that like we're good on sisters.
Yeah. I think there's another sister left.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
For Meredith?
I want one.
I mean, okay. When I know
it's too much, but I just want it.
Okay. It's too much if they live in the same house.
Fair.
If she just exists, that's fine with me. I'm a massive fan of Amy Acker's. And when I found out that Amy Acker was going to be like the final Shepherd sister, right. I was thrilled. And then she was so mean. And I was like, I actually don't know if I want to see this person again. No, not the good mean. She was like the bad mean. Yeah, she was truly mean. But God, the cast of Shepherd Sisters, real.
I need another half sister. Like, yeah, that's what I want. Like,
I mean, I think that that's actually one of the most reasonable wants to have in Grey's Anatomy. Or there's like, always a sister in the tank,
right? Or like, what was? Oh, fuck, I'm forgetting her name. Shepherd's first wife.
Oh, Addison?
What if Addison had a half-sister? Can that be? Because they're so extreme and far apart.
Yes.
Like, absolutely. That's what I'm asking for.
Yeah.
And I want her to be queer. That's what I want.
That's the perfect wish list, and I think that that's absolutely doable.
I want to manifest it right now.
Well, because I think that the blonde ponytail intern, I think she's queer.
She is, but they don't develop anything outside of, like, yes, she has a crush on, which they've been doing with the interns, because they also had, like, one of the interns, like, her sole personality was she has a crush on Jackson.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's the problem with, like, why none of us, I don't care about, like, the interns or, like, the new characters and stuff is because I'm like, okay, I don't know anything about them.
Right. I feel the same way. But yeah, I think that blonde intern is the only queer woman on the show currently. Oh, except for, I guess, the DeLuca sister.
DeLuca sister.
But, you know, saying that she's on the show is like, that's a loose statement. Yeah. She's on the show to teach someone about sex.
Right. We can also claim, I claim Amelia because she had a crush on her DeLuca sister before, even if it's never acted on.
Yes.
So I'm like, you're on the spectrum. You're part of this.
For sure. Yeah. I forgot that there was like background to her asking Katerina to be like part of a menage a trois as like, I just don't understand why. Sometimes when they give that character lines, I'm like, why is this happening?
Right.
It's fine. Yeah. So we have some characters who either themselves are dipping a toe or the writing is dipping a toe, but we don't really have like there. Yeah. I mean, we have Nico and Dr. Kim, or the same person, Dr. Nico Kim. And then we have Glasses
Schmidt.
And then we have,
Casey Parker, who's trans.
We have, which by the way, they've said his name like once.
Right.
Like,
right.
Genuinely, they,
I think, is more than some of the other.
Like, absolutely. This past week, they said the name of the doctor with the hijab.
Oh, you mean like, the one that liked Jackson? That's all I knew her as.
Yeah. Like, they called her by name this past episode, and I was just like, wow. I mean, I think that's the first time I've ever heard her name out loud. Incredible. She's in, like, every episode, and they never address her by name. Crazy. And then there's the blonde intern and Katerina. Yeah, we need more plot lines.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You have such diversity in the show. You need to use it.
Yes.
It can't just be like background pretty.
Just like more stuff about. I mean, I have to say, introducing another hospital into this, I'm like, I've got some high hopes about that.
And now things that could not have happened at Grace Sloan can now happen because it's like we're talking about completely different space.
Yeah.
There are clearly no like checklists or boundaries. Like crazy shit could happen at this hospital.
We can have some nutso medical cases, which is what I'm holding out for. Mm. Okay. We are going to look at the clips that you chose. And then I know that this is a theme that a lot of listeners have been requesting for a while. So rather than choose queer moments that meant something to me, even though there are many, I asked on Twitter what moments listeners would like discussed, and a ton of you suggested things, and I was very excited. And so I then took those and I ran them by Lily, and we have some of those in there and then some of Lily's choices. So yeah. Okay. The first one is something that you wanted to talk about, but also was probably the top requested.
Yeah. I didn't necessarily be like, this is a important scene for me, but I was like, this is a very important scene and has to be talked about.
Yes. Yeah. And this is Erica's Glasses speech, I guess, is what most people referred to it as. Okay. Do you want to set it up in any particular way?
If I remember it correctly, they had been like kind of, this is after they accepted they were both into each other and had like been flirtatious and kept trying to like go on dates or like hook up, but they hadn't done everything yet. And then I think this was like the first time they had sex, like full on sex.
I think that's right.
And I hated that they kept referring to it as like a euphemism, like they kept saying like south of the border or something.
Uh-huh.
I hated that. But they finally did cross the border.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a really finally cross the border.
Hi.
I do think that it's a nice moment when Callie goes to Bailey and confides that she's like really nervous about, mm-hmm. she doesn't know how to have sex with a woman and she's like worried that she won't like it or that she won't be good at it.
Right.
Like that part of it is nice. It's just like, yeah, the fact that like no one will just, yes, there are a lot of euphemisms.
And then like Bailey is the best ally.
Yes. She talks about eating local cuisine in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
She's like,
right. She's like, not everybody likes spongy bread.
Or yes. Whatever. Not everyone likes spongy bread. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. What did I just click? Whatever I clicked, I've never clicked it before. Okay, we're back. all right, let's watch this clip.
It's amazing.
Yay. It was for me, too.
I mean, that was amazing.
Me, too.
My whole life, my whole adult life, I have been with men. And it always felt, you know, fine, good, but... I never. I mean, I did, but not like this. This is like needing glasses. I blinded you? No. When I was a kid, I would get these headaches, and I went to the doctor, and they said that I needed glasses. I didn't understand that. It didn't make sense to me because I could see fine. And then I get the glasses and I put them on and I'm in the car on the way home. And suddenly I yell because the big green blobs that I had been staring at my whole life, they weren't big green blobs. They were leaves on trees. I could see the leaves. And I didn't even know I was missing the leaves. I didn't even know that leaves existed. And then, leaves. You are glasses. I am so gay. I am so, so, so gay. I am extremely gay.
Callie, no. Yeah.
She's such a good actor.
Yeah. Wait, who? Which? Both?
Both, but specifically in this scene, the woman who plays Han.
Oh, yeah. Brooke Smith.
Brooke Smith, thank you.
I'm a Brooke Smith stan. Someone recently on Twitter.
I only know
like,
her from the show.
What's that?
I only know her from the show.
She is in a ton of stuff. She's in an episode of that new show, Unbelievable, which... 5 people told me about because they know that I love her. She has a pretty big role in Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of hers. I think she's an incredible actor. And the delivery on that monologue is...
There's so much
crazy
in that
good.
Monologue.
Yeah. I mean, I think that... What I gathered from listeners who wanted to talk about this was that, like... They related to the analogy, but it also just was like, it was very cool to see someone who was excited about, like coming out was like a relief and was like mm-hmm. something, a positive thing. Like when she's like, I'm gay, I'm so gay. That's mm-hmm. like a very happy moment for her. Not like a moment of like dread or fear.
Right. It's like a liberation and saying those words so, so much.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was so smart to have like the, like Callie's reaction to it, like both of them having that, their own reactions at the same time to the same things.
Yes. Like to Callie, it was a gratifying sexual experience mm-hmm. and she like is romantically interested.
Right.
In Erica. But Erica, it's like, it means something so much so much bigger. Mm-hmm. And it puts, you can tell that, like, it's a lot of pressure on Callie because Callie isn't having the same experience. And, like, I think that that is so smart, where it's like she can't really, like, be excited for Erica or, like, be there for her in a certain way because she's like, wait, is this how...
Is this what I'm supposed to be?
Is this what I'm supposed to be feeling? Like,
I'm not feeling this. Like, is this still valid? And that's, like, so important, especially when this came out, because even as is, like, people still shit on bisexuals or, like, people who are pansexual. And it's, like, these women are both completely valid in both of these experiences.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's so important. And I think a lot of people attach that because you don't... Some people do have this, like, very... once you figure it out, it's very clear and it's very... like, liberating. And then other people, it's like, it's not as clear and it, like, is still a journey. And, like, having both of them next to each other is, like, what makes this scene so great.
Yeah, I totally agree. I really was sad to see Erica Han go, especially since, like, this is, like, one of her last moments. And then we kind of mentioned this earlier, but, like, the fact that Callie then doesn't have that reaction then makes Erica feel really insecure and, like, feel, you know, it's never, like, actively fun to feel like you like someone more than they like you. But then when, like, identity is, like, compounded with that of, like, I'm having this self-actualization moment and, like, you're not. And but I'm only having it because I'm with you. And, like, that's, so then they have this kind of fight in the parking lot where the Izzy stuff kind of comes to a head. Erica realizes what came to pass after she lost the heart for her patient, who is now back in the hospital. And she and Callie is defending Izzy. And she's like, you can't kind of think that was right. And you can't kind of be a lesbian. And Callie kind of, like, scoffs. And she's like, actually, you can be, which rocks.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was also, I saw, when I first saw that episode, I was with my parents and pretending not to watch.
Like, oh, really?
Pretending to be, like, preoccupied on my phone.
I don't even care about this.
Yeah, I was, like, I was visiting from Florida State, and, like, this is happening. And I was like, I'm looking at my texts from friends I don't have.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I'm very good at pretending that I'm doing something on my phone. I've done it at every party I've ever been to. Close to the bathroom, outside the bathroom, just kind of, like, by the door, like, I'm, you know, waiting for someone to come.
Right. And emails are really important to me right now.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, this is actually happening because I'm so important. I actually know so many people who are trying to get in contact with me via this device that I can't really be with, like, the people in this room with me.
Do you ever, like, choose, like, oh, okay, I'm going to pretend to look at text or I'm going to pretend to look at emails? Like, make that decision. Like, oh, I want to come off as, like, I'm looking at emails.
Yeah, I definitely have done that before. Or, like, I'll just, like, systematically, like, text my mom and then text my dad and then text my sister and then text a friend. And then, like, the next day I have, like, 8 texts back from people being like, oh my gosh, it's so good to hear from you. How are you? I'm like, oh God, I don't want to reply to these. Like, I texted these in a moment of distress.
I needed you then. Yeah. Where were you?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I guess maybe one of the next ones that would be good to play would be, kind of contrast another coming out monologue. This is Schmidt coming out to his coworkers.
And I wonder if, like, because his nickname is Glasses, and we just had this whole, like, this huge thing about it. I was like, I don't think they did it on purpose, but I'm giving them that credit. I'm giving them that credit of, like, when they named him Glasses, they're like, it's going to be a reference to.
Yeah.
Because it kind of has, like, that, like, feeling of, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're both very good.
Like, yeah, this is a listener suggested. This is, okay, so for those of you who are not caught up or who stopped watching, this is an intern from season, I think, 14. But maybe I think he came in around season 14. And he is really nerdy. He has glasses. And in season 15, he, found himself attracted to and then in a relationship with and coming out for the first time. With Dr. Nico Kim, who's an extremely hot bone doctor. We mentioned them earlier. So this is a clip from this past season, season 15. If you don't watch currently, you will certainly notice that there is a different kind of in-surgery vibe that is previous. But the voices that you're going to hear are Meredith, DeLuca, who she at this point has not, like, actually decided to be with, but they are having like kind of a big flirtation, which you'll hear them reference. Glasses, and there's one other person, whatever. It's actually genuinely, and I know you can't believe this, but it doesn't matter. So here we go.
You seem different.
I got contacts.
No, it's not that. It's just you're
it's
less
Joe.
Glasses. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, and the other day when I asked you to change Natasha's central line, you didn't mess it up at all.
Kind of a backhanded compliment, but thank you. I met someone. And he's hot, and he's confident, and he likes me. And I'm gay. And he's gay, and we're gay together. And it's the most me I've ever felt in my whole life.
Well, I'm happy for you, Schmidt.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's beautiful. After all, what's life for if not to share it with somebody, right?
Shut up. Does that mean life is not worth living alone?
I think if you meet someone who lights you up, you should fight for them.
Suction. This fluid looks cloudy.
That's the last line of the scene. Can you believe that? This fluid looks cloudy.
Well, yeah. Back to business.
Yeah. You know, it's just like, it's such a laid back, like... Mm-hmm. And the way that the interns are treated is not right. How the interns were treated when, like,
right.
when Meredith and all of them were interns. It's fine. That's not what the scene is about. What the scene is about is Glasses, who did get contacts in this particular episode. God bless.
That's an analogy.
Yes. Yeah. It doesn't symbolism. Need glasses anymore. You get it. He needs contacts.
Right. We went from needing glasses to finding your contacts.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that, like, for as much queer representation as there's been in the show, Glasses and Nico are the first gay male relationship doctors on the show.
Right.
So it is like kind of an overdue.
Oh, absolutely.
Facet of queer representation.
For the most part, America likes watching two women make out, but not two men. So it was huge because, again, I'm not necessarily their target audience. I'm just the one that keeps coming back. But, like, their target audience, this is huge. This is, like, you're watching it.
Yeah. And there's, like, some genuinely, like, horny scenes between the two of them. One in an ambulance during a, you guessed it, windstorm. You know, those classic weather events that we all know
Seattle.
Called windstorms.
As someone from Florida, that made sense to me. I was like, oh, yeah, weather.
Yeah.
Doing crazy ass things. Absolutely.
Sure. Like, I'm from Arizona. So it's like, yeah, I mean, I guess like we have things called dust devils.
Yeah.
So like, I get it. But I also think it's made up. At the same time, I do think it's made up. Okay. And then there's one more coming out thing that I chose. So a lot of people recommended like different Cali moments of coming out. And she comes out in various ways to various people over the course of the show. Mm-hmm. There's a moment where she kind of like comes out to Meredith as bi and as like, and kind of, and in this like 15 second speech kind of like alludes to kind of, by erasure by saying like there's a B in LGBTQ, like and the B doesn't just stand for badass.
What a line. I hate it.
You know, it's not my favorite, but maybe that means something.
You know,
to
someone
people.
Felt like, amazing.
Yeah, as an
line.
Ally, it's really not for me to decide that that's not my favorite. But I chose the moment where Callie comes out to George's mom. Because and I also was kind of. So when I was looking for this moment, I found a YouTube clip and it's just a clip of the episode. But the first thing that comes up before the clip is like a clip art page that says, this is what should happen when you come out, which I found kind of sweet because it's like, I don't know, using like Grays as any type of model for like what your expectation is for how someone treats you is just like very like sweet to me because the baseline for any event happening is just like so off the rails. Like, this is Callie's ex-husband who she married in Vegas after his dad died, and then he died after getting hit by a bus and no one knew it was him because he had enlisted in the army, and then his mother came back years later from complications from a gallbladder surgery. But this is what should happen when you come out.
Right. In Gray's scheme of things, it all feels very possible.
Absolutely. This is one of the most normal setups to a situation you could possibly
have. Yeah, I've been
waiting
for this. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. George's mom, played by Deborah Monk, really, she's such a warm, wonderful character. Mm-hmm. And she's heartbroken when they get divorced. And so Catley is like at her bedside when she wakes up. So this is season 8. I think this is a really nice scene.
Catley.
Hey.
Meredith said that the surgery went great.
Yeah. I like girls. As in romantically. Turns out I like girls. Women. And I met the most amazing woman. Do you remember Dr. Robbins from this morning? Yeah, we got married. And, but before that, we got in a car accident, a really bad accident, and I almost died. But I didn't. And Sophia, neither did Sophia, our baby, our perfect, beautiful baby. And I'm screwing all this up. Look, I know this is a lot. And I understand. And if this is too much for you to handle, believe me, my own mother practically disowned me. So I understand. Oh, God, I'm making you cry. Please don't cry.
You have a baby.
I do.
Do you have any pictures?
You want to see him?
Are you kidding?
It's a cute baby. I really like that scene.
I love that scene so much.
It's I just love Callie, and I love her set of values, and mm-hmm. I think that like just the fact that she's even there to like be there for George's mom is like very moving mm-hmm. to me.
Well, I mean, and also just like that same thing of like, she is like another mother, right?
Yes.
Like, even if, so like, I think I mentioned before that like I have like lots of half siblings and step siblings and stuff. My mom is my sister's ex stepmother, right?
Your mom is your sister. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. She's my half sister.
Yeah.
But like, when my sister comes to Miami, like, she stays with my mom. And like my sister's 10 years older than me. She has 2 kids. Like, those are my mom's grandkids, even though she's, my mom is technically her ex stepmother.
Right.
Like, so there is that thing of like, Callie and O'Malley, even if I didn't like them, they were a family, and that included his mom. And like, that relationship didn't change, even though theirs did.
Yes.
And then like she like didn't care who Callie was with. It was the fact that Callie found love and had a child and all these amazing things. And I like love that.
Yeah, me too. And I think that there's something also to be said about like watching someone come out to someone where they aren't sure what their reaction is going to be. Mm-hmm. Like, In the other two coming out scenes, like both Erica's and Glasses, they're both operating under like kind of a baseline assumption that the audience is going to be like, at the very least, like receptive to gay people in general. And like, they understand what queerness is. Mm-hmm. And like, they're not the first queer person that they're going to meet, like where they themselves are queer or whatever it may be. Like, and I do think that
it's not their dead son's ex-wife.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and there's still massive stigma for against like people who have been in like a relationship with someone, like in what, like a, at least a presenting as like a heterosexual mm-hmm. relationship, and then they are in a queer relationship, and like, or vice versa, like,
right, like they somehow delegitimize each other right. in some way, but it's like, no, these are all valid, these are all real, these are all part of it.
Right, exactly. Like, I think that the just seeing Callie kind of like get in her head and psych herself out, but also like the ways that she like presents details in that order, mm-hmm. I just, it feels really realistic to me in that way. And I love the reaction of like, you have a baby, I right. want to see pictures. And I love Mrs. O'Malley. I love, I love her in the scenes like after they get divorced right. too. But if you remember, like, she wanted Callie to have a baby with O'Malley really, yeah. really badly. She with had, like knitting baby clothes them, yeah. and all that stuff. So it does feel like really full circle. I also was just reminded of.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
The moment when Burke's mother comes to the hospital after that wedding has ended, and she's like very intimidating and scary.
Mm-hmm.
And then Christina asks her to get rid of the wedding gifts, and she's like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Great moment. Great. Great moment. Okay. So you chose two moments from recent seasons.
Mm-hmm.
You have Casey Parker coming out, and then you also have non-binary. She's not, or they're not a patient. They're,
well, I think they start off as a patient. Like they and their mother.
And their mom both like get in an accident or something.
Yeah. And their mother's in worse condition, but they also have something because they have to get like a head scan of some yes. sort, and they have some other thing.
Yeah. And then who is the one who, is it
I don't remember
who
the character's
explains
name.
To.
It's the queer intern, the blonde that,
yes,
like,
she's the one who explains right. that. I'm like, I keep being like, her name is.
We don't know. Yeah. The only thing we know is that
blonde intern. Yeah, she
and
does
has a crush on Meredith.
Explain it, but she doesn't have a name to me. I mean, literally, I'm like racking my brain. I'm like, I don't even know if I ever knew her name. But she does a good job of explaining to Richard.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll do chronologically. We'll just start with the Casey Parker. I loved this moment.
Mm-hmm.
I knew from the moment that this actor was cast
mm-hmm.
that they were trans, and I wasn't sure if the character was trans.
Right. I didn't know if they were going to make that something or not because they hadn't
right.
brought it up.
They hadn't brought it up. And the only thing that we like know about them is that they're a vet that they previously
right.
like. So we were like, okay, it's like vet intern. And then later we find out that like, he's like a hacker.
Right. Right.
And that's like the avenue through which we find out that that the character is trans
as
but,
well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But it's a while. I mean, this is season 14, episode mm-hmm. 9. So, I mean, he's been in at least that many episodes
right.
before this moment. I just scrubbed past a scene in which Jackson and Maggie are in a locker room in towels, like they went to a sauna or something.
Oh yeah, so isn't it just like another locker room in it, like it's a different part of the hospital or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's really unfortunate.
I want to like Maggie.
I mean, sure, I would love to too, but that ship has sailed. There's nothing I can do.
It's only because before she was on Grey's, she was in another medical drama TV show.
Where
she played a lesbian doctor, which is the only
Kelly
reason
McCreary
why.
Kelly McCreary did?
Yeah.
Wow, that rocks. You know,
that's the only reason. So I kept hoping that it would happen in Grey's as well, but it did not.
Well, the opposite of Jessica Capshaw, who previously, I've talked about this not on the podcast, but with people outside the podcast, of like, it's so interesting in this industry of like, when a straight woman is cast as a lesbian or a queer woman, and that becomes like their type. Like,
right.
They're like, in this industry, this woman is like willing to play gay.
Well, and it's then, like, what's her name? Sasha Leone. Everyone thought she was gay and she's not. She's like a lesbian icon, but she's not.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Yeah, but Jessica Capshaw also has like played multiple lesbians on TV. Okay, so unfortunately, and I like really hate to say this, but like there's kind of like a big like hacking plot point on Grey's where there's a hack of the hospital. They ran out of weather, and so they had to be like, well, what about electronics? And this intern,
who we know nothing about at this point.
We know he was a vet. He has done the hacking, we also know that he was like previously like it's kind of like a Bailey doesn't want to know,
but he
implies like that he has like a bit of a criminal record for his hacking. Like that's how good he is.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not supposed to be doing this, so I'm not doing this, but.
And Bailey's like, just do it.
Just do it. Yeah.
Okay. So this is a scene right here.
Why?
I had to make sure.
Hold on.
Again? Oh, come on.
No, that was me.
Why?
I had to make sure I could, and I could. It worked.
Are you sure?
I think I found a way to keep myself home. I right.
Oh, is that what I think it is?
What you think it is air conditioning. Then yes.
Yay! Okay, now, did you really hack into the DMV? Why would you do that?
Because my old license referred to me as female. And the DMV where I was living wouldn't change it, so I did. I'm a proud trans man. Dr. Bailey, but I like for people to get to know me before they find out my private medical history.
Of course. Thank you for your service, Dr. Parker.
Oh, I think I found a way to keep my head.
Wow. Sorry, glasses just like kind of entered frame holding an IV bag. I actually can't really investigate why that happened, but bit of a cheesy ending to that scene, but I'll take it.
Yeah. But also, like, it's cheesy, but it's kind of perfect for what it is.
Yes.
Like, I do feel like it's a little bit unearned because he says, like, I want people to know me before I decide to give this information or not, but I'm like, we don't know you.
And literally, that's the last scene that I've ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, this is season 14. We've started season 16. That's kind of like the last, like.
Yeah, I think that scene, he has more lines than he does in all the other episodes put together.
Absolutely.
But it's like just that line of like, I am a proud trans man.
Yeah.
To have that, like, again, Thursday night. Is it still Thursday nights?
Yeah.
Okay, to have that, like.
Yeah, it's like primetime network. Yeah. It's still like one of the top dramas on all of TV. Yeah. It's really cool. And it's also, I imagine, I mean, I've read a little bit of it, like interviews with, I think the actor's name is Alex Blue Alex Blue Davis.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I've read some interviews with him, and he has talked about like how cool it is to be on Grey's, just like as a show, as an institution. And,
and although it makes like absolutely no sense for him to be able to like do this huge hacking job because he was able to hack into the DMV, it's like really important that they talk about the DMV because that's a huge thing for people when they're like, for trans people when they're trying to live their lives as their like actual gender.
Yeah.
And like, so I have a couple friends who have like had to go through that process of like getting their name and their gender and stuff like on their license, and it even like specifically in New York City, and it takes months, it takes a long time, and it's really difficult because it's like you have this like very official paper that says something that's wrong.
Yes, absolutely.
And then it's like,
And it's like, it's not just like, obviously, as we know, like a driver's license is more than just your identification, like on the road. It's also, it informs how your process of going through airport security and all of these other, you know,
just to go to the bar and get a drink.
Yeah, exactly. So I wish, you know, it's hard because it's like, on one hand, it's like, yeah, I wish we like saw more of this intern. On the other hand, it's like, we've got too many characters. Yeah. We have to pare down the number of characters that we care about. But like, it is crazy to me that we get this really interesting backstory. And like, it hints at this whole person of like, okay, so it's like this character, like he is a vet and he's trans and he like committed a crime.
Right.
Like, there are so many like seeds of like plot lines there. It's like, I guess at some point maybe we'll see some of them.
I don't know. I think the most recent episode like is maybe going to let us like get to know these people a little bit more. They have Bailey like interacting with them more.
Yeah. Now that like some of the attendings aren't at the hospital anymore. Okay. Then this last clip that you chose is what we were describing, this mother and her
adult child.
I think adult. They're kind of like they definitely look like they're in their 20s, but they don't have a job, and they're like there, and like they seem to maybe, if not like live with their mom, like live
very really close to the mother.
So, and the mom is like super active and like her
an adventurer of
a
person.
An adventurer. That's exactly the way I was like, right? She's like, I was trying to be like, I'm like, she just loves to like climb.
she does gnarly stuff.
Yeah. They're just like a gnarly family.
Except that the child is like very,
yeah, they did it for their mom.
Right. They're scared.
Yes.
The entire time.
Yeah. When they kind of come in, like, I don't remember what their name is, which I should have definitely looked up. But like, basically they say, like, I was scared and I did this and then I'm okay and my mom is hurt. And like, that feels crazy. They're on multiple episodes.
Yeah.
Which,
not played by a non-binary or trans person.
Correct.
Just.
Which is honestly, there's a trans teen played by Rachel Brosnahan in an early episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's two trans characters. They're both played by the wrong gender.
Yep, absolutely. By, yeah, cis actors of the wrong gender.
Right. So Grey's is not perfect.
No.
I will say that. But they do a lot of big things.
Recent trans representation has been much better. Mm-hmm. Like, there have been, there was the trans doctor.
Yeah.
Who's played by a trans woman. There was another trans patient. Someone had a trans sibling, now that I'm thinking about it.
Oh, yeah.
There have actually been multiple.
It was,
is it Ben Warren's sibling?
Warren's sibling.
Yeah.
Which, that one, well, that is also a little problematic because if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, it's supposed to be before, I think it's his sister, like, but before transitions
any type of, like,
or any type of thing,
like,
right,
medical,
right before they
process. Yeah. But like, yeah, it clearly is not really.
They were trying to do something they weren't ready for.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was like, they clearly have not, like, it didn't give credit to how difficult and how many people need to sign off on having any type of surgical procedure done for gender reaffirming surgery or anything like. Anything like a facial feminization surgery, anything like that, like, you have got to, you can't just like show up one day and be like, yep, this is what I want for the most part. And that does not seem to, the coming out and the surgery are like linked events, which is not really accurate. So I don't know. Grey's is like maybe at 50% as far as,
what I want it to be.
Yeah.
Like, compared to like other things of that time slot, amazing. But
it's also like the number of things that we have to choose from is also like outstanding compared to a normal show.
Yeah.
Which is not to be like,
we get
just
to be nitpicky is the thing. We get to be upset.
Right. It's not as much like you know, well, you should be lucky that there's this much to choose from. It's just like, this is what it feels like to be able to say, like, I want to hold this to a higher standard instead of being like, give me something that I can hold to a standard at all. So this last episode, or this last clip that you chose, is Richard Weber, who is definitely like the oldest doctor, kind of plays this stand-in for the really like worn like argument of like, well, remembering pronouns is too difficult and it's not grammatically correct, or like, you know, all that bullshit, which is also like literally the dictionary. It's fine. That's not, I'm assuming that most people who are listening to this are familiar with why that is a really tired and disingenuous argument. But even though Richard, I think, I don't know how much it like fits or not fits with his character necessarily, but he's kind of the stand-in for that.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily think it did, but I thought he represents, or he is like somebody that people, like the older generation that watch this show, like feel connected to.
Yes.
Like, oh, he's done the work. He's a good man.
Yes, and he plays just kind of like the audience proxy in this for anyone.
Right. Anyone who would be like disagreeing.
Yes. Okay, so that's the scene right here.
They're all settled.
Do we really have to use this plural thing, even when she can't hear us?
Wow, they can't hear us, okay? Yeah, it's not that complicated.
Not that complicated. We're talking about a single entity, but they is plural. I mean, it requires a plural verb. Or am I supposed to say they is?
No, look, if you're in a movie theater and somebody's coat is left in a seat and you bring it to the usher, what do you say to the usher?
Well, a number of things. I might say someone left behind a coat, or I found someone's coat, or turn this into a lost and found.
I might say somebody left their coat.
Then you'd be grammatically incorrect.
Ungrammatical.
Excuse me?
Something's either grammatical or it's not. Grammatically incorrect is like saying something is right, wrong. Scans are up.
It's about time.
All right,
what do you see?
Absence of flow in the mid-brachial artery.
Okay, we need to get her up to the OR.
Really?
Okay, damn! Can we go now? Almighty.
Now I feel pins and needles.
They really, like, give the scene some time.
Yeah.
It's cool to see that on a TV show like this.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, I mean, this is an episode long arc with Richard, and this is, it's like a continued conversation.
Right.
I really want to find out what her name is.
Hems, the last name,
I think. Yes.
They said it in the scene.
Right. They said it in the scene and then I already forgot. oh my God. I feel so bad because it really is. She's in like every episode now, but like, this is, you know, this is sort of what I'm talking about. Listen, there have been so many episodes or so many characters on Grey's Anatomy.
Right. And we have like no information about her other than she has a crush on Meredith. So why do we need to remember her?
Yeah. Okay. Let's see.
And I want to. I was like, this is a queer character and I don't care.
That's, oh my gosh.
Lot. That's a lot.
Her first name is Taryn. Can you believe that? Taryn Helm. I've never heard. No one has ever called her Taryn.
Nope.
There's
one should ever.
There's no way I've ever heard that said. Taryn Helm? Taryn Helm.
That was a name that was like a filler. We'll figure it out later. Yeah, and it just never got figured out.
That is a placeholder name. You're kidding me. You're kidding me. Taryn Helm? Oh. That makes me feel insane. And I thought it was going to be like, oh, yeah, Jenny. That's right. Her name is Jenny. Like, how did I forget? Jenny Helm.
No, we've never heard the name. That's why we
don't. Never heard the name Taryn.
We've heard the last name.
No. I mean, like, and they do call each other by their last names. But it's like, that is new information. wow. I don't mean to have such a big reaction, but that can't be legal. Like, you can't name a character Taryn and then just, and then hide that for so long.
So wait, that scene.
Yes. Sorry, no, I got distracted because I was like, well, first of all, I forgot that Jackson was involved in that.
In that scene?
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah. I also think it's good because you're like, oh, of course this queer character would be in the know of this. But then yes. It's also, no, this straight man is also with the program.
Right. And it also communicates this, like, it's not just like a difference, you know, a philosophy between mm-hmm. like one person or the other. It's right. like there is the majority of right. people in that room are like, get it together.
Yeah. And it's also like intersectional. Like when you're talking about queer identity, you can't ignore like race and gender and all this other stuff. And it's like,
yes.
So you have, I think in this, maybe I'm giving it too much credit, but I think in this, you have Jackson, you have Weber, and it's like they're both straight, cis, black men.
Yeah.
And they're next to each other and having, like, it's not just this like white queer thing. This is like a everybody thing.
Yeah.
And like Weber, you don't have excuses. And to like rely on like, grammar is just
right.
dumb because we don't speak that way. You know, we are
yes.
constantly doing things that are not grammatically correct or whatever.
Yeah. I think that also, like, you know, a backstory that we have for Richard that we don't ever like revisit is that he and Ellis Gray were like the only two doctors at the hospital
of,
who
like,
were
minority.
Willing to treat a man with AIDS.
Right.
When it was like before they knew what AIDS was. And mm-hmm. I think that like that's kind of part of the reason why I think it's both like it doesn't make sense and also it makes a lot of sense to mm-hmm. have like that character be the one who is confused, because I think it also kind of communicates that like it's an ongoing process.
Right.
It's not like just because you like were a good ally or mm-hmm. understanding or like you were on the right side of history in like one context that mm-hmm. gives you like kind of permission to pick and choose mm-hmm. how to participate going forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the end of the episode, Richard like gets it.
He gets it.
And also
it.
Realizes that it's like really not hard.
Yeah. But like, okay, so when I watched that scene the first time, I was like, what a after school special. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm glad there's a non-binary character, but I want so much more from this. But then again, I was like, when my mom came to visit me one of the more recent times, like, I have friends who are non-binary, and I like prepped her ahead of time. And I was like, hey, I have friends who like, you know, you use these pronouns. This is what it means. And also, like, English is not my mom's first language. So part of it was that, like, Spanish is, it's a very gendered language.
Yeah.
And she gave this bullshit excuse of, like, well, I'm just too old for this. I was like, no. we got in this huge argument. And I was like, it matters. And, like, you have to care. But also, like, you're not too old for this.
Yeah.
And, like, you make mistakes in English all the time. Why are you caring about this one?
Yeah. I mean, it's, I have a lot of trans and non-binary friends, and like, I have like accidentally misgendered
right.
people, like when they're out of the room. I've like, I think once or twice done it while they were in the room. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's embarrassing and you feel bad, but it's also like when you make a huge, it's just like, it's my problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think that, like, you just figure it out.
Yeah.
I think it's so weird when, like, that argument, which I think was, if they were going to choose one argument for, like, a doctor to have, I think that that is, like, by far the best one, because
right.
it's someone just being like, I'm not saying that they can't be trans. I'm
right,
just
right.
saying that, like, I don't understand why I have to.
Well, because we know Richard to not be a bigot.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, okay, so what is the argument that like liberal, and I say that in quotes, like, or
yeah.
especially like an older generation, like what is the argument that they give when they're not like outright bigots? And a lot of times it's like that stupid one, or like,
yeah.
I understand, like my mom was like, I understand like the whole like being born into a wrong body thing, which is also like wrong, but
yeah,
I was not going to explain that to her, but And she's like, but I don't understand this, like, not being one of them. And right. I was like, you don't have to understand.
Right. It's like, that's not. But that's not the prerequisite for, like, behaving.
Yeah. But then after this episode aired, my mom got it.
Really?
She, like, fucking understood it and was like, okay. And I was like, well, first of all, you should have listened to me when I said it the first time because you misgendered my friend.
Anatomy.
Yeah. Thank you, Grace.
Wait, that's crazy, though. That's really awesome. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I have a lot of, my parents don't watch Grace, but I have close friends whose parents do. And they come to mind from time to time when there are things like this. Like, I wonder what they think about
right.
this.
Because
I don't think
reacting?
That they loved, like, Arizona and Cali. Like, I don't think they loved, like, seeing, mm-hmm. I think that their perspective was like, I love these characters and I love that they're together, but I don't know why we have to like show them kissing,
right.
like that type of thing. And uh-huh. I think that that like grew over time. And I wonder like what their perspective is on that type of plot point. But I think that there's something about just treating it matter of factly mm-hmm. and like, it's not a battle of values mm-hmm. and it's not like it's not endowing like Richard's perspective
right,
with anything more than just like, are you willing to put in this baseline amount of effort and be willing to admit that like, if you slip up, that's wrong.
Right.
Yeah. I also think that like those types of scenes on Grey's feel like it steps out of the reality.
So, like, heavy-handed.
Yes.
But then...
Like, let's say you go to the movie theater. Like, that is a
right.
very, like...
But I also had that conversation with my mother.
It's right? The easiest way to explain it is, like, it's something you already do
you already
without
do
even thinking about
it. I know.
It.
I'm going to, like, talk shit about my brother now. I love him. But so he's like an academic.
Uh-huh.
He's an academic queer. And he's very, very smart. And he works in publishing. So he is like very much about grammar and da 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 da. And he gave me that bullshit excuse too. Because I mean, like, we all have our different privileges and we're like both completely white passing Latinx, like cis gay people.
Yeah.
So. For him, he was like, you know, from a very privileged place of being like a white passing gay man, was like, well, you know, I think that's too much. And when you talk about grammar, because he likes to like rely on that. But then I was like, literally the books you've helped publish, they use like mm-hmm. when talking about the author, they go back and forth between using like he or she and them in the sentences. And it is accepted, written.
Yeah.
I was like, you're just nitpicking about this. But then also now it's in the dictionary and I just yeah. like was like, you have no excuse.
Yeah, totally. And I also have like said to like family members before, like if you feel like you can't like practice on your own time, if you feel like you need to do that, but then just refer to them by their name. Like
yeah.
that's another yeah. option if you're-
Which is what happens when I like speak in Spanish. Because there is no, even if you're doing, this is just a quick Spanish lesson.
Yeah.
Even if you're speaking plural, like you choose either like ellas or ellos, yeah. and it's gendered. Even if it's a mixed group, you default to the masculine.
Yeah.
So no matter what, it is gendered. So like I like have tried talking about it with other family members and mm-hmm. like it doesn't work because it like that concept doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But then when I've referred to like friends, I just will just use their name instead in Spanish. And
right.
there are like new, like unofficial things in Spanish to do. But like the language is so much more difficult to change than in English. Like we create the changes and then eventually it comes into the dictionary. But like for Spanish, you have these like it's the Royal Academy of Spanish Language or
yeah.
whatever. And it's like these like 7 or 12 people that come around like 7 or 12 years and decide what is official and what is not. So like that's, it's harder, but
yeah.
but like even in that language, people are doing things unofficially.
Right.
But like,
yeah, that's how language always changes. It's
right,
like but, there's some type of,
but it's only like every 7 years that they get a chance to like add a,
that
something.
I didn't know. I had no idea. That's
the Real Academica de Español.
Whoa.
It's like something like that.
That's
I might
crazy
have
that made, there's like just like a panel of
there's
people.
Like in a very official and for the most part, completely white, like. Spaniards like from Spain and like it's mixed but it's mostly white men like Latin men
whoa that's so. Crazy I didn't know that that's nuts
But then you have all the countries have their own slang and stuff, and that's right. kind of like the fuck you to that.
Yeah.
But it's technically not part of the language. But yeah, so like that's hard to talk to like some family about that.
Right. Yes. I as a English speaker with English speaking family do not have that type of a barrier when it comes to talking about that type of stuff. Okay, we just have one last clip, which was also suggested by a lot of listeners, which was season 4 when there were the gay soldiers, mm-hmm. Patients. This is our first. I mean the non-binary patient is discussed, but we don't actually hear from them in that scene. This is mm-hmm. these are the gay soldiers, which season 4, not the first gay patient we've seen, but obviously like kind of an interesting like play with traditional masculinity, mm-hmm. like in the eyes of a lot of
and it was very topical at the time. Yes. Like it was what was happening.
Was it? I don't remember exactly, but I mean, it definitely was like, well, don't ask, don't tell was,
I think it was, yeah.
was like in the conversation before it was, mm-hmm. Before we came to one conclusion about it. So, okay. So this is, in season 4, we have, this is a patient who is in the brain tumor, clinical study. And another man from the army who, you know, is introduced as like a friend has come to see the father, like either doesn't know that the son is out or like has just mm-hmm. kind of ignored it blanket. Right. Like,
am I remembering right that the father was also an army man?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So yes. It's a, like a lineage of like very traditional masculine. Like.
Yes.
Okay.
So this is the scene. Meredith is in the room for this.
What's the recovery period for brain surgery?
It varies, but usually at least 4 to 6 weeks.
Well, looks like you'll be stuck with me for 4 to 6 weeks.
You deploy in 5 days, man.
That was before I knew you had a brain tumor.
No, no, don't screw this up for yourself. You're a soldier, it's who you are. Besides, I'm probably not even gonna make it through surgery, okay?
So. Cool, then I'll be good to go in about 5 days.
Why did you call me?
How could I not? God, you're so paranoid.
Just like openly staring
at them make out.
Mr. Covington.
Get out. Don't make me throw you out.
What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong, sir. Nothing at all.
It's very sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what I like about it is that it's a very, like, it's very romantic. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a very, like, it's just, like, a great story. It's very romantic. And it is not presented as like their relationship isn't fraught in any way. Right. It's just the outside forces of like the parental.
Literally the father and then the like higher up in the army coming
yes.
in.
Yeah. And it's awful because the guy ends up dying and right. the dad ends up kind of like giving a nod of like, you can go see him after he's dead. Right. But it's like very.
But it's also like it's the father and the that like their reaction that like pushes the guy who's going to get surgery to like push away his yes. his lover.
Uh-huh.
And say like, I don't like, no, I'm like, it's that line where I'm like, I forget what he says. Like, I am a soldier or whatever. Like his yes. identity is this.
Right.
And he's willing to give up everything else about himself for that.
Yeah.
Which at the time was like, it still is a huge thing.
Yeah.
But at the time, especially with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, it was like, you're giving up your identity and your career.
Yeah. It's definitely like not as, it's definitely a more tragic portrayal of like queer identity, because I think exactly what you said is so right. Like being the identity of being like a soldier, mm-hmm. and
we see that with like other characters like Owen and stuff, but then
yeah,
I don't know where I was going with that.
No, definitely. No, it's like, it's that's something that is like explored in many facets mm-hmm. on the show through a lot of different characters. But I think that,
well, it's also like a line that like the doctors say, that they're like, I am a surgeon, or I am a this, or I am a that, and like using it the same way. But it's like when like another part of who you are, because of the situation, because of society, you can't be both of those.
Yeah. Yeah. Like how Izzy can't be both a surgeon and
beautiful.
An animal lover. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It just, you can't.
You can't. It's like, it's star-crossed professions, star-crossed identities.
It's so hard.
It's so hard to be Isabel Stevens.
I didn't like
her. Yeah, I mean,
ever.
The last episode that we recorded was the trial of Izzy Stevens, deciding whether or not she was good or bad. And we came down pretty hard on she's not a great person. Okay, those are all the clips. Wow. I mean, it's so interesting because it's like, there are so many other like smaller individual queer storylines on the show.
It was so hard to like narrow it down. When I chose the topic, I was like, at first I was like, oh, this will be easy. And then I was like, there's a lot.
Yes. And it's hard to like be like, okay, do I want to talk about patients or do I want to talk about the doctors at the hospital? And like, mostly we talked about the doctors at the hospital, but mm-hmm. there are a ton of like, I mean, there's the season 12, which I think we talked about in the teens episode, but maybe we didn't, of like the two girls who like stepped in front of the train because, and they didn't even like really understand it. Like, wasn't like a suicide attempt. It was just like, we just want to be together. Like, there's like that.
We didn't want to die, but this is the only way we could be together.
Right. Exactly.
Which like, is such a teenager thing to think and say.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there are.
But also like, if I had someone who liked me back in high school, maybe I would be that dumb.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Little Lily just, in Catholic school.
Oh my gosh.
I had a uniform. Most of my teachers were nuns.
It's incredible to visualize, to be honest.
I had very long hair.
My gosh. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I didn't even have like, I wasn't even in Catholic school, but I definitely think that I was just like a regular, like overly romantic, horny teenager. And I would have like for sure like stepped in front of a train for like a guy who was like into cool music who liked me. So that's actually something that I'm very not proud of. But it made me who I am today. someone who hosts a Grey's Anatomy podcast. Okay, the only thing that we have left to do are Shondalogs. Which we, I don't know if we actually watched any Shondalogs today.
I mean, definitely the coming out. Yeah. The glasses and, well, I guess glasses thing was not like the character glasses was not.
It wasn't like a traditional Shondalog, but it was
he
like.
He has one when he talks about like, I think it's in that ambulance when he talks about like, that.
Oh yeah. He's like, I killed myself. Yeah.
A sword. I don't know. But
That's right.
No, the only one we got to see today was glasses.
Yes.
Which is, I think, iconic.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Would you like to go first or would you like me to go first?
I'll go first. I haven't planned anything, but I was this morning something like and I was like, that would be a great Shondalog. So.
Amazing. Okay, let me find a song.
No, we're not open yet. You literally just saw me walk in. I still have my backpack on. We're not open yet. Like, why are you even? All I wanna get, the chairs are up. The lights are down. And you're asking me if I'm open yet? Like I'm supposed to be? We open at 11:30. It's not even 10:30. I'm early, and I don't care if you know the owner. Here comes before. It's a neighborhood bar. We all fucking know the owner. And here comes a rush. I only have an hour to open. And I'm by myself. So for the next hour, this is my bar. And we're not fucking open yet.
That was so good. Oh my God.
I was really upset.
Yeah.
This is what everything I wanted to say.
Oh my gosh. That was really rewarding.
I feel really good. Like, yeah, as a person now, like,
for sure.
I'm almost crying. Life would- everything I wanted to say to this fucking stupid man.
Oh, you have to say it next time.
No, that's how really, I get fired. Because like, he does know the owner.
He does know the owner. But we all know the owner. It's a neighborhood bar.
Dave. Everyone knows Dave.
Everyone knows Dave. Okay. Let's see what I do. Yeah. I'm sick. I first got a runny nose, and then I got a sore throat, and then I got a cough, and then I thought it was gone, and then it came back first as a cough, and then as a runny nose, and then as a sore throat. So, yeah, I'm sick. And I'm off work this week, and I'm supposed to be out doing things, living my life, like being in public, touching things, you know, touching things with my hands. And I'm sick. And you know what? I know exactly how I got sick. You got me sick. You are the one who had the sore throat and the fever and the chills, and you came here and you infected my whole life. And now I'm in week two of something where, yeah, there's green gunk coming out of my nose and my mouth, and that's from you. And every time I look at a piece of that green bookie gunk, I'm the one looking at you. And I don't want to be looking at you. Because I'm off work this week. And I want to be out there on the subway touching poles and not worrying that a child is going to pick up my germs. Your germs. So yeah, I'm sick. And I'm going home and I'm going to get in my pajamas and I'm going to rest. Because I'm sick, but only because you got me sick. Wow. I don't even know where that came from. I'm actually feeling so healthy. Thank you so much for coming on this podcast. Where can people find you?
So I'm on Instagram and Twitter, even though I don't really use Twitter, but I'm trying to.
Yeah.
My handle is at Lily Pujol Jr. because I share my mother's name and she had both of these things before me.
Awesome.
So that is spelled because it is not spelled as you would think it is. LILIPUJOLJR. Lily Pujol Jr.
Amazing.
And then I'm also, you can usually find me at UCB. I think the next show I'm doing is Wednesday, Gato Culo.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming on and talking. And yes, if you are listening to this podcast and you haven't yet given it a 5-star rating and a review, I would really appreciate it. And we'll see you next week.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.